Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise today, huh? Hallelujah. You know, we all do what we do because of the Lord. Can I get an amen? It's not a Terry show. It's not a Viola solid rock show. It's not any individual that makes the kingdom work. It's the obedience of individuals that make the kingdom work. And I could not have been happier to be a part of a miracle in this church, period. Told you board that yesterday. I'll tell all of you today. It jazzes me up. I get tingly letting God use me. I don't know how you feel, but to be led by the Spirit to make lasting difference is what I live for today. And my message today is on being led by the Spirit and having divine intersections in our life. You know, divine intersections are being in the right place at the right time with the right people to do the right work. That's what I call a divine intersection. And I believe that our time here this weekend, I believe our relationship with Pastor Joe and Chelsea and their family has been a divine intersection. And I'm very thankful for our relationship with both of you guys in MVP. We have probably 1,500 couples that have been a part in and out of MVP in the last 4 to 5 years. I think our total numbers are around 1,000. They're not all active, just like not everybody's active in this church. Can I get an amen on that? But we have had probably 900 to 1,000 people that have engaged. But I can tell you I've not had anybody more faithful than Joe and Chelsea Garner. And you deserve a hand clap of thanks and praise for being a great leader. I mean that. I said it last night. I think it bears repeating today. I've never seen a church in a community this size have a greater footprint of ministry in a county or a region than I've seen out of this church right here. Never. And I echo pastor's words for volunteers and volunteerism and ministry. We call that ministry. I mean, you can go volunteer down here at anywhere you want to go volunteer, right? But when you volunteer in the church, it becomes ministry. It's kingdom work. It's God work. And there's a difference. There's a difference in going down here and volunteering for the, if you're a part of the March of Dimes or wherever, God bless you. But there's a difference in working for the Red Cross and working for Jesus Christ. Sometimes it looks the same, but all of a sudden when God gets involved in the mix, when we're Spirit-led, all of a sudden you start to be kingdom contributors and not just community contributors. How many of y'all want to be kingdom contributors today? Come on, put your hands together for the Lord today. We want to be a part of kingdom stuff. I told Sam this morning, and it has borne. It's borne out today. I was praying, kind of just walking around. I said, God, don't give us no regular service today. I can't handle another mediocre service in my life. And aren't you thankful for the move of the Spirit that's been in this room this morning? Thank you for leading us in worship. Thank you for doing a great job of your ministry today and being obedient to the Lord. I mean that with all of my heart. And I'm talking about everybody that's up on this stage. You can't do church alone as a pastor. It's a dead, dry deal if the Spirit of the Lord is not in the room. But man, when the Spirit comes in and He leads us, all of a sudden things become fresh. Things that were stale a minute ago, all of a sudden start to have the life of the Spirit within them. And you start to smell the flowers again, right? you start to feel fresh. You get a clean drink of water. And that's what we've had today. I want to draw your attention to the scripture in Luke chapter 4. And I've asked the guys to put it on the screen. Hopefully we can. Luke chapter 4, verse 14, if you want to look at it in your Bible. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. reports about him spread quickly throughout the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. But when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, was handed to him. And he unrolled the scroll and he found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, and that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come to them. He read it to him. And he said, the scripture you have heard has just been fulfilled this very day. Yeah, you talk about a mic drop moment in the synagogue. What's amazing is verse 22 says, everyone spoke well of him and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips. They were asking questions like, how can this be? Isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this the carpenter's son? He grew up in this town. It'd be like somebody from Viola getting up today and having a mic drop moment and you having that moment here. Like, didn't I just see that dude down at the Dollar General in Viola? Then he said, you will undoubtedly, he began to read their mind. He said, you'll undoubtedly quote me this proverb, basically saying, physician, heal yourself. Meaning, do miracles in your hometown like you did in Capernaum. But I tell you the truth that no prophet is accepted in his own hometown. And he began to give them, he began to recount different people. He recounted Elijah. He said, there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, but when the heavens were closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine devastated the land, he didn't go to all them, yet Elijah was not sent to any of them. He was sent instead to a foreigner, a widow of Zarephath in the land of Sidon. He said, there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, but the only one healed was Naaman, who was a Syrian. When they heard that, I don't know what set them off, but that set them off. Because it said, when they heard this, the people in the synagogue were furious. They jumped up, they mobbed him, and they forced him to the edge of the hill on which the town was built. And they intended to kill him. They were going to throw him off of the cliff. But it says he passed right through the crowd and he went on his way. That moment, that crazy scene in the synagogue, the moment where he stood up and said, I've been sent here to do this, and he had that mic drop moment when he said, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your sight, in your ears. That moment in time was prophesied 700 years earlier. Everybody say 700. I want to talk to you about being spirit-led, being in the right place at the right time, at the exact right moment to do the work of God that He has called on you to do. Let's pray. Lord, we need divine intersections in our life. I'm asking you to teach us today, enlighten us today, help us today to understand that we can be used in perfect timing in your will to do kingdom work on this earth. Every man, boy, woman, girl, old, young, as long as we are breathing, Lord, teach us in this room today that we can be spirit-led. And we can enjoy moments where we know it's not us, but you that is using us. I pray that in the name of Jesus. And everyone said? In 2004, in the Olympics in Athens, the marathon was being run. It's a 26.2-mile race. Everybody knows what it is. It was coming to a climactic finish. And there was a Brazilian named De Lima. And he was leading by a comfortable margin. And there were only a few miles to go. But all of a sudden, a deranged spectator comes out of the crowd and attacks him, tackles him, and pushes him into the crowd. This is the leader of the Olympic race. Precious seconds begin to tick by as he struggles to get away from this nut. Everybody say nut. And return to the race. But those lost moments cost him the gold medal. He finished third, earning bronze instead of gold. All because of a timing disruption. Timing matters. Can you say amen? Being in the right place, right time, or being knocked off course at the wrong moment can change everything in your life. God can use your life if you've made mistakes. I grant you that. I'm all about championing the God of second chances. I'm all about the mercy of God today. But I'm also about being Spirit-led and letting Him use your life continuously to be where you're supposed to be, to say what you're supposed to say, and to be the light that we're supposed to be in this world. And timing does matter. When you see this scripture, you got to realize it was all prophetic for him to be in that room that day. It was all prophetic for him to take up that scroll that day and it be right at the words of Isaiah. 700 years earlier, this was a divine appointment. Jesus was declaring, I am right on time when he got up and read that day. How many of you know God is on time in our lives? How many of you have experienced the timing of God in your life? Everybody else thought he might be late, but he came right on time for you, baby. Right on time. A divine appointment. Jesus knew exactly when and where to show up. He was the ultimate on-time man. Unlike that Olympic runner who got knocked off course, I'm going to tell you something today. Jesus has never been knocked off course. He has never been late. He's never been a minute late. You may have wanted him to come earlier, but I promise you he has been always on time in your life. And I'm here to declare that today in this church. We make our plans and we do our best to strategize and cast vision and to do the work of the Lord. But I'm telling you, God still orders the steps of people who want to be Spirit-led. And when our plan doesn't seem to be working, I'm here to proclaim to tell you that God's plan is always working. You may get frustrated, but calm yourself down and lean on the arm of the Lord. What does the Bible say? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, what? Acknowledge Him, and He will what? Direct your paths. He is not late. He's coming. He's going to be on time. Today is not the day to quit. Today is not the day to let your faith go out the window. Today is the day to declare to the world, all the people around you, listen, I serve a God who is always on time. Always on time. 300 prophecies plus were given about Jesus before he ever showed his face on the earth. I could sit and recount time after time after time after time that 300 times plus he was right on time. It was not an accident that he was in the synagogue that day. He was on time. It was not an accident where he was born. It was not an accident that in the middle of a crisis, Joseph and Mary, to get away from Herod, had to go somewhere for the census. It was not a crisis that was moving. That was prophetic. It was so that his words, the words of the prophets, could be fulfilled that had given them 700 years earlier. Today is not the day to question your faith in Jesus Christ. Because I'm here to tell you, he's already fulfilled 300 plus. But how many of you know he's made some more that haven't been fulfilled yet? How many of you know the eastern sky is going to split open one of these days? The church is going to be raptured out of this place. And the dead in Christ are going to rise to meet him first, but we're going to meet him in the air. Can you say amen? We are not finished fulfilling prophecy. We are not finished doing the work of God. God has done great things with this church. God has, you have a rich history of ministry in this church just in the past year. But I'm telling you, next year can be better than this year. And next year, if we're Spirit-led, it may look different. The results may be different, but it will have the same impact on the kingdom because God is looking for people who will be Spirit-led. Spirit-led. Be on time. Be on time in your spiritual responsibilities. Some of this stuff gets practical, right? We like to make the kingdom real mystical. We like to be the guy who can give the big testimony and how this God did this. But sometimes being on time and being Spirit-led has to do with showing up in the morning and meeting with God every day of your life. It turns into, hey, do you have the ability to read your Bible? Do you have the ability to pray? Do you still humble yourself before God on a regular basis? Are you going to fulfill your spiritual responsibilities? You know, are you going to be the man of God, or the woman of God, in private before you're the man or the woman of God in public? I used to work for the Buntane Missional Ministry, Calcutta Mercy. And the originator or the founders of that ministry was Mark and Huldah Buntane. And they had many miracles that were associated with that ministry. And when you talk about being Spirit-led, I believe that that couple was Spirit-led to do what they did on the mission field. But I can tell you, the main testimony about Mark Buntane was his prayer life. Buntane would pray 3-4 hours a day. He had an uncommon connection with God and the Holy Spirit, but it was because of his prayer life. And his own daughter told me, she said, you got to understand something, Pastor Terry. She said, my daddy was kind of a weird guy. Because he would pray anywhere, anytime, any place. Y'all don't really know what general counsel is, but Joe and Chelsea do. General counsel is like the gathering of all the ministers in the AG that can show up at a given city once every 2 years. So there's thousands of people. It's like a stadium. You know, you're in bleachers sometimes. They hold them at different places. But it's mainly big convention centers. But it's large gatherings. They told me one time at general counsel, they're up in the stadium seats, and I don't know what was going on the stage, but they looked over there and there was some dude that was kneeling down in his seat praying quietly. And they're like, what's wrong with that guy, man? Something's wrong with him. It was Mark Buntane. Mark Buntane would drop to his knees anywhere, anytime, any place and pray. And he would always pray in the Spirit. How many have been filled with the Holy Spirit? You've been given a heavenly language. I heard heavenly languages going on in this room this morning. Those were people praying in the Holy Spirit. There's a difference in that and giving a message in tongues where you have interpretation. What Mark would do on a daily basis and regular basis for hours, he would pray in the Spirit. But if he couldn't pray in the Spirit, he'd be walking around doing this right here and praying in the Spirit in his mind, even though he wasn't opening his mouth. He would walk through a hospital. They had a 6-story hospital, 175-bed. For years, they treated 100,000 patients a year. But it was built because of a guy who would walk and pray in the Spirit and was Spirit-led. Can you say amen? But his disciples, if you will, in India used to tell me over there in the hallways of that hospital, they said, man, you don't know Mark Buntane. Mark Buntane was crazy. They said, Mark, if he called your name, you went running because you knew if he wanted to pray for you, something big was about to happen to you. They're like, come here, son. Come here, Joe. I want to pray. They're like, no, I don't want to be called in the ministry, right? You know what I'm saying? But he would walk around and be doing this. They said for years they thought the initial physical evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit was this right here, because he was always walking around doing his fingers like this. That's going to be funny to some of y'all, not funny to others, but he was always praying. He was praying in a general council. He was praying when you picked him up at the airport. He was fulfilling spiritual responsibilities to God before he tried to fulfill ministerial responsibilities to people. He was ministering to God before he tried to minister to other people. One guy told me, said, I had to pick Bontaine up at the airport one time. And he said, I knew that the route coming from the airport had to go by a strip bar. I don't even remember what city it was. And he said, I was embarrassed because I didn't want to take Bontaine down the street and see this in my city. And he said, sure enough, man, Bontaine is praying the whole way from the airport. Bontaine praying from the airport, praying from the airport. And he said, we get to the signal light. We get to the signal light right by this strip bar. And he said, all of a sudden, he opens his eyes and he looked. And he thought, oh, my God, man, why'd you have to open your eyes now? He said he opened his eyes. He looked over there, and he said one thing. He said, burn it down. And he went right back to praying. They took off, and he said, God be my witness, the next week that bar burned down to the ground. Now you say, that's crazy. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit can cause things to happen. I don't understand it all. I haven't been praying for any buildings to burn down in Viola today. And I don't know that that's necessarily the will of God for us in this room, but I'm telling you, He listens. The Holy Spirit listens to people who fulfill their spiritual responsibilities. He has said over and over and over in His Word that we are His children. We are not His slaves. And how many of you know, if you're a mom or you're a dad in this room, you will move heaven and earth for your own kids to see their blessing and to see God do good things in their life. Wave at me, parents. You'll do anything you possibly can within reason to bless your kids. And that's what I believe God does when we fulfill those responsibilities. Be on time. Be on time for God. Be on time with prayer. Be on time with Bible study. Be on time at church. Can I get an amen? Everybody's looking around wondering who was late today. I don't know who might have been late today. Be on time with your family. I don't care about how spiritual somebody looks on a stage in a church if they are terrible at home with their husband or their wife or their kids. Now, I preached good right there. Y'all missed a good shot to say amen right there. If you're a holy terror at home in your marriage, I don't care how much you speak in tongues in church. That's all just like nothing. I don't believe that. I don't believe it's real. You might be the best singer. You might be the greatest looking worshiper. But you might be a witch at home. And I'm telling you, you're going to answer to God for that stuff. Kids, you might look good at camp. You might be great at camp, but you might have been like me when I came home from camp. I went right back with my friends, right back with my lifestyle, and it leaked out of me in 5 minutes when I got home. And I'm telling you, that's not the will of God. Be on time with your family. Be on time with this community. Be the light of this community. We watched a guy get martyred this last week. Literally, I believe he got martyred for his faith. Charlie Kirk was a man on time with his message. Yeah, I don't think he knew he was going to die. Did he want to die? Did he set himself up to die? No, I don't think he wanted to die. I think he had a bulletproof vest on when he did die. But you know what? When it's your time, it's your time. And I'm believing that the death of Charlie Kirk is going to ignite a revival on the college campuses of this nation. And we're going to see great, great, mighty things of God because he was willing to stand up and be a light in the community. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I don't think he's going to die in vain. And I don't think we die in vain when we're spirit-led people living our lives not for our own will, our own agenda, but for the will of heaven. Be on time. Be on time with your responsibility at home. Be on time in this community with your responsibility to other people and what they want to do and what they need. This community still needs Jesus. We haven't won everybody in Viola. What county are we living in here today? Where? We haven't won everyone in Fulton County. There's still people who are not in church, any church. They don't necessarily have to come to this church all the time, but I do believe God wants every seat in this church filled. Next time I come, man, I hope y'all are looking to build a building, because you can't put them in here, Pastor Joe. Or you're in multiple services or whatever. I'm telling you, God wants to fill up every church in America with lost souls that will find Jesus to be their personal Savior. But we got to be on time. We got to be on time. We got to speak on time. We got to be where people need us to be to hear the message of Jesus when God opens the door for us to speak it. You know, the true heroes in life, in families, are the people that refuse to go away and they keep showing up. I heard a guy preach this last week. He said, you know, I may not be the best pastor in the world, and I may not have all the gifts that you want me to have, but I'm what you got today. And he was talking about Samson using the jawbone of a donkey as a weapon. He said, you may not have the best weapons in your hand, but that's what you got. So pick up the jawbone and start fighting. Let's be spirit-led with what we have. Let's quit whining and complaining about what we don't have, and let's use what we do have, and let's make the biggest difference while we're on this earth. I still believe there's nothing that God cannot do through people who will respond to His Holy Spirit and say yes. Say yes in the quiet moments. Say yes in the family moments. Say yes in the public moments. There's some of y'all in this room, you need to take ministry in this church, and you haven't done it because you've been shy about it, or you've been standoffish about it. I don't know. Joe hasn't filled my ear with a bunch of junk out of this church. So if you're feeling squeezed today, that's probably the Holy Spirit talking to you. I just encourage you to say yes to God. Yes. Everybody say yes. Yes. Just learn to say yes to the Holy Spirit. If it's in the Bible and it's calling you to do it in the Bible, that's the Holy Spirit. If you feel a tug in your mind and in your spirit today to do something that you know has been taught that is the will of God, that's the Holy Spirit talking to you. The devil is never going to encourage you to do something right. So when you're encouraged to do something right, just understand that's the leading of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. Be on time. Be on time in the Spirit. Be on time in your spiritual responsibilities, your family responsibilities, your community responsibilities. And just know that God can do a miracle through your life when you don't even know you're being moved. I'll tell you this story, and then I want to pray for people who want to be Spirit-led. How many of y'all want to raise your hand today and say, I want to be Spirit-led in my life? Don't be shy. I don't want to just live a normal life. I want to be Spirit-led in my life. I want the supernatural power that I want to recognize that it's on me and moving me. I want to see miracles. How many of y'all still want to see miracles? I believe you can be used like that. A F5 tornado years ago went through my hometown, Oklahoma City, primarily Moore, Oklahoma, and devastated that city. Just wiped it out. I mean, if you could put a 2 or 3 mile swath through a city and just take it down to concrete, that's what happened in Moore, Oklahoma. And I'm living in Tennessee. I had just come home from India, a trip a couple weeks earlier. And I had the week open after that had happened in Moore, Oklahoma. And I didn't know how I might be able to help. We did have some ministerial friends that had lost their home in that tornado, Pastor Joe. But I honestly didn't know how to help them. I had never started MVP at this time. I was still working for someone else, drawing a regular paycheck. I didn't have any resources to take in there. All I had was some want to. Everybody know what that is? I had some deep desire to go in there and help. How many of y'all got some want to in your life? Well, I did what I knew how to do. I opened my trunk and I put some tools in it. I have a chainsaw. I thought, well, you know, I'm going to pack a chainsaw. I'm going to put my work stuff in there. And I'm going to go to Oklahoma City, stay at my mom's house, and see if I can help some people. Number one, I didn't know how hard it was to get into a tornado ridden area like that. You can't just go in there with a chainsaw and help people, right? They got cops in the neighborhoods. You got to have a reason to be in there, or they won't even let you in there. But because I had friends in there, I was able to get access, right? And I called. Her name was Jana. I called her. I said, what can we do for you? She said, I really don't know. I said, well, I'm coming. Y'all figure it out. I'm going to try to help, right? So on the way to Oklahoma City from Nashville, Tennessee, you know, you gotta get on I-40. I-40 is like my home turf, right? I got my own private rut in the fast lane on I-40. Not the slow lane, by the way, but it's the fast lane. I'm still working on my flesh, y'all. I'm still working on my flesh. So please get out of the fast lane when I leave here. So first place, now this is a God moment, right? The first place that you can access a Brahms ice cream cone is in Alma, Arkansas. Praise the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord. I love me some Brahms ice cream. It's got to be chocolate almond. It's got to be right. It's got to be bone hard frozen when they bring it out the window. I love it, right? I love it. So I order this. I said, I want a double dip, chocolate almond ice cream. Bring it, baby. Alma, Arkansas. Well, they hand it out the window, and the sucker's half melted. I'm bummed. I'm going to eat it, but I'm bummed, right? So I did what all spiritual people do. I got on Facebook and I said something about it. Like, I'm going to work for the Holy Spirit here. We're gonna get Brahms right? I said, I love me some Brahms, but y'all got to, you know, I didn't say it mean. I love, because I love Brahms too much. Well, when I put that post on Facebook, two kids or a kid that used to come to our youth camps in Tennessee, we used to run youth camps for the state in Tennessee, those kids saw that post that I said, I'm headed to Oklahoma City to help with this tornado area. I stopped at this Brahms, this is a short little post. They saw that, and they told their dad, who lived in Oklahoma City, who ran a construction company, that, hey, Pastor Terry is coming to Oklahoma City, and he's going to go in there and help the tornado victims. They didn't know what they were even talking about. They just going by what I was saying. He had been trying to get in to help, but could not find access to get in there to help. Sometimes you don't have access, but how many of you know God has access? He says, maybe you can hook up with Pastor Terry and go in there and help. So I had no knowledge of this. I'm getting a Facebook comment when I got to Oklahoma City, and they said, hey, we want you to meet up with our dad. His name's Theo Brooks. And he wants to go in there and help. So if there's any way you can maybe help him get in there, great. Well, I didn't know what I was even doing in there. I called up my friend. I said, how can we help? She said, well, you know, you might be able to get a meal, you know, some coupons or something. We're going to have to eat out for a lot. I mean, they had nothing left. No homes, no cars, nothing. It's all just down to the concrete. So you got to eat out all the time. And so I said, well, I can probably raise that. I mean, that's down my wheelhouse, right? I can raise some gift coupons. And so I said, that's done. What else do you need? And she said, well, you know, we got these two cars that are like 150 yards out in an open field. And she said, we're going to have to get those. We're going to have to bring them. We didn't have insurance on them. We had only one kind. She said, but we're going to have to get them. We're going to take them and wholesale them and get what we can for them. I said, okay. So I start calling people that I thought would be the guy, right? Somebody like Joe, who knows how to move and haul stuff all the time, right? I called my uncle. I called an uncle. He wasn't available. I called another guy. He wasn't available. And then all of a sudden, I remembered this dude named Theo Brooks that was on my Facebook Messenger. I'm like, I don't know who this dude is. I don't even know what he does, but I'm going to call him. Turns out, he digs pools for a living, right? He's like a surgeon with a bobcat. You guys that move heavy stuff and heavy dirt, I'm amazed at what y'all can do behind the wheel of one of those suckers. I call him. I said, man, I need to pick up two cars, get them wholesaled tomorrow. Can you help me? He said, no problem. What time can we be in there? He said, I'll bring my bobcat. We'll make it happen. Boom. Just like they had a yes. He got access. I got the help I needed. All of a sudden, we're going in there. We're going to make a difference, right? I've never seen a dude that could operate a bobcat like him still to this day. He was like a surgeon. He picked those cars up so fast, had them on trailers. We had it done and gone and had that money for those people like in the matter of 2 hours. He was that fast, that quick. And we went back to do some more work. But here's the real miracle. The day before we went in there and did that, he calls me back. He said, Terry, He said, I know what we're doing tomorrow. And he said, I'm up in Crescent, Oklahoma, and I'm digging a pool for this lady. And he said, this lady want to know, she heard we were going to help with the tornadoes. She said, I want to talk to that preacher. This person that she was digging, he was digging a pool for, a rank stranger, I don't even know who they are, wants to talk to me. And I said, they want to talk to me? Why do they want to talk to me? They want to know what we're doing up there tomorrow. And so I get on with this rank stranger. Her name was Donna. And she said, Pastor Terry, what you don't know is that me and my husband run an oil company. And she said, part of what I do in ministry is I help people buy cars. I get people new cars when they need new cars. I said, are you serious? She said, yes. I said, well, this couple needs two new cars of some sort. She said, that's not going to be a problem. When you get in there, you find them and you tell them to call me. So here we have it. We go from me opening the trunk, putting a chainsaw in. Got a lot of want to. Everybody say want to. To driving to Alma, Arkansas, getting a half-melted ice cream cone, putting that on Facebook. All of a sudden, a kid sees that. Everybody say a kid. A kid sees that, tells their daddy, till all of a sudden I'm connected with a guy who's really can do some work with construction. We go in there, and when it was all said and done, we cleaned up their property completely. He said to me when we were cleaning up the property, he said, I love all these Samaritan's Purse people because there were like 18 in their yard picking up things like one by one. And they're a tremendous ministry. But he said, if you'll get them out of the way, he said, I'll have this property cleaned up in an hour. Literally, I moved them out of the way. 1 hour, that thing was down to the foundation. Everything moved out to the street, and they were ready to move forward. Can you say praise the Lord? End of the day, they go from having nothing to the two newest vehicles they had ever owned in their life and insurance to pay for both vehicles, all because I believe we were in sync with the Holy Spirit. Now, you tell me how God... What can use a half-melted ice cream cone to meet a $50,000 need for a ministry couple who has nothing? Only the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm talking about, having a divine intersection with your life. When you know you're not in charge. When you know you... Are y'all feeling that? I feel the Spirit. He wants to use different people in this room to do different things like that. It's not about Terry Allen. It's about the Holy Spirit. Let's bow our heads right now. God, I just told one story. I don't even know how you want or need or want to use the people in this room. I just want to be obedient today. If you're in this room, this is a simple altar call. If you're in this room and you say, Pastor Terry, I want to be Spirit-led. And I want moments like you just talked about in my life. I want it to be a part of my life. Stand up to your feet. Stand up to your feet right now. I want you to simply get out of your chair and move forward to this altar. That's right. Pile in close. Just stand up, guys. Y'all just remain standing. Come on, line up. All the way up. All the way up. That's right. Big man, lead. Be the man. I don't want a normal life. I want a Spirit-led life. Pastor, Chelsea, come up. Sam, come up. I want a Spirit-led life. There's some room right up in here. Keep coming. Fill it in. Come on. Don't be shy. This is just an outward response of saying an inward yes to the Holy Spirit this morning. When you move forward in an altar, that's what it is. You're just saying yes in an outward way to what you've already said yes to on the inside. How many of y'all have already said yes to what I preached today? Come on, raise your hand. It's another outward sign. Here's what I want to do. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God. We're going to try to be led by the Holy Spirit in this room. And we're going to believe God for miracles to start happening within your own life, within your business, within your world, your school, your family. I don't know where the miracle needs to take place. I'm just telling you it can happen. If God can cause his son to stand up in a synagogue 700 years after somebody said it and fulfill it just like that, how many of you know he can use you too? Jesus was fully God, but he was fully man at the same time. When he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, that was the Holy Spirit putting him through, I think, calisthenics for what was going to happen in his life. The same spirit that made him an overcomer in the wilderness and caused him to be on time is the same Holy Spirit that we worship today and that we sang about today. Where's our worship leader today? I want you to come up. Come up. I want you to begin to help. I want you to do exactly what you did. Where's your husband? Come on, bro. I want you to begin to lead us quietly, just like you did. If you want to be spirit-led in your life, just raise your hands right now. Come on. Father, this is a sanctified moment, God, of people who want to be available to you, Jesus. We want to be available to you. Available. I want you to just say those words right now. Say, God, I'm available. I make myself available to you right now, Jesus. I make myself available. When we begin to worship and sing these songs about the Holy Spirit or whatever, we're making ourselves available right now. Lord, we're crying out to you, God. We don't want a normal life anymore. We want a supernaturally powerful life, even in the small things that we do, even in the little things that we do, even in the moments where we don't even know what's going on. We want you to order our steps. Everybody say, order my steps, Lord. Order my steps, Jesus. God, we need you in our lives. We need you in our lives. We need you in our lives. We're stale without your Holy Spirit, Jesus. We're stale without your Holy Spirit. I'm asking you, Father, to begin to dispense your gifts of the Holy Spirit throughout this room right now in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you, by the power of your Spirit, to just give gifts right now in the name of Jesus, right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit, Lord, let it fall on this church. Let it be among this church. Let it be inside and outside of our lives and our families, God. In the name of Jesus. 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 If you're standing around a man right now, I want to start this. Ladies, I believe men, and I'm talking to you men, you are the leaders of your home. God set it up that way. I didn't set it up that way. I didn't make it up. That's in the Bible. The man is supposed to be the leader in the home. But those of us who are in the home and we're not men, we're supposed to pray earnestly for the leaders of our home. And the future leaders of our home. Here's what I want us to do. Everyone in this room right now, if you're standing next to a boy or you're standing next to a man, I want you to just put a hand on their shoulder. I want you to begin to pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. That they would become spirit-led. Spirit-led. Men, raise your hands to Christ and begin to ask him to make you spirit-led. Father, in the name of Jesus, let these young men and these men become spirit-led like they've never been before. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we need you. We don't need to just be regular old people anymore. We want to be spirit-led, Father. Spirit-led, Lord. Hallelujah. Use him, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Use him, I pray, in the name of Jesus. To do your work, to do your will, God. Hallelujah. Use them, I pray, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Whatever you want us to do, God, we're willing to do it. Just say it. Whatever you want us to do, Lord, we're willing to do it. 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 I'm 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 willing. You don't have to fight me, Holy Spirit. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do it. In the name of Jesus. 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 Use me. Use my work. Use my business. Use everything I've got in my hand. Use my chainsaw if you need to use my chainsaw. Use my want to, God. All I got is want to, but use it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Use my want to. Use the deep desire that's in my heart. Come on, lift the men up in this room. In the name of Jesus. Lift them up in this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We're available, Lord. We're available, God. We're available, Jesus. We make ourselves available, Lord. Hallelujah. We make ourselves available. We make ourselves available. We make ourselves available today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Now, men, it's your turn. It's your turn. Men, say it's my turn. It's your turn. God wants you to be a leader in your household. I told pastors the other day on a Zoom call, I said, gentlemen, you are a spiritual father to many. Don't ever fall prey to the enemy and cause your mouth to be shut like you got lockjaw. Your voice always matters in the life of spiritual children. Your voice, your presence matters. If you're in the room or not in the room, it matters to people who are your spiritual children. But I'm going to tell every man in this room, every father in this room, your presence and your voice matters greatly, 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 if not the most, in your household. And the enemy wants you to be shut up. He wants you to be quiet. He doesn't ever want you to assume your role as the man of God in your house. He wants you to let your wife do it, your children do it. He wants you to let everybody else be the spiritual giant in your house except for you. I'm telling you, you are not relegated by God to sit in your easy chair for the rest of your life and do nothing for the kingdom. God is putting his finger on you today through this message, and he's saying, you are the one to lead your family. You are the one to pray for your family. You are the one to lead the spiritual formation of your family. So here's what I want you to do, dads. Boys, I want y'all to pray for each other, but I want every man in this room, you got a family around you, you got somebody around you, I want you to begin to lay your hands on your wife, your kids, and I want you to begin to pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, come on, let's lift it up. Lift your hands. Begin to pray for them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father. Step up, men, pray. Your prayers matter. Your prayers to God matter. Ask God to bless your family. Ask God to save your family. Ask God to lead your family. Ask God to minister through you to your family supernaturally. Ask God to reveal things to you about your family in the name of Jesus Christ, to do the work of the ministry inside the house. Before you ever even go to work, before you ever do anything outside the four walls of your house, Father, in the name of Jesus, use these young men for your glory, God. Use these young men for your glory in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. 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 In the name of Jesus, put your hand on this girl, God, in the name of Jesus. Use her hunger. Use her, the spirit inside of her. Use her in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I still believe that God can give spiritual gifts unique spiritual gifts to different people in the body of Christ to make up the body of Christ. How many of y'all believe that? We're not all the head or the shoulder or the elbow or the... Some of us are a toe. Can you say amen? It's not about who's got the best job. It's not about who's got the best body part in the body of Christ. It's about all of us being obedient. Can I tell you that I believe the miracle that God helped me to be a part of for this church, I believe was partially birthed out of a prayer to God. I read a book one time, and this book talked about ways that this gentleman was giving and you being used by the Holy Spirit to give things out of his business or out of his ministry, out of his own personal finances, and the miracles that had started happening through his life. And there was something that sparked in me. I'm talking about Terry Allen. There was something that got up in me, and I began to pray for that. I said, God, I ain't never prayed for a specific gift in the body of Christ ever in my life. How many of you know the Bible says to covet or to earnestly seek gifts in your life? I had never prayed for any specific move of the Holy Spirit. Anything, I've never prayed to be the interpreter of tongues. I've never been the guy who said I need to be the person who wants to give the message in tongues. Different gifts. But here's what I began to pray for. I said, God, there's something inside of me. I want the gift of giving. I want the gift of giving. I want it. I mean, and I still seek it. It sets me on fire to give. I love it. I love it. I'm tingling right now, man. I'm going to tell you, watch out now. You might come on you, boy. You better watch out. I love it. You don't have to beg me to give. If I've got it in my hand to do with, I'm going to do it. It was the easiest thing for me. Now, I will tell you this. When you give thousands and thousands of dollars out of your organization, sometimes you can get giver's remorse. You can be like, okay, God, did you really tell me to do that right there? You know what I'm talking about. It's fun to give $58,000 to finish a mortgage. But the aftermath of that is still, it takes faith, right? I'm here to tell you God wants to give spiritual gifts in this room. I don't know what you hunger for or what has lit a fire in you when you read the Bible of I want to be like that or I want to do that or I want to see that in my life. I'm just telling you it can happen for you. It can happen for you. Don't look at where you are right now and say, this is all I can be. Don't do that. Let the Spirit lead you to become what you're not right now. He will use the talents and the gifts that you have. He's not going to make some of y'all sing. You're not going to be on American Idol if you can't carry a tune, y'all. That ain't going to happen. I don't care what your mama's told you. Some of them need to know they can't sing, right? That's not your gift, bro. That's where we have pastors and leaders and people in authority. Dads, if you will, that will tell their kids the truth. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. all the men. Don't tell your kids that the best things is sliced bread if they can't sing, right? Don't do it. Don't do it. But I'm telling you, God can cause things to happen in your life that you don't see right now. That start with this little fire inside your heart. Man, something you love that just, ooh. How many of y'all got something like that in your life? You don't have to tell me what it is. Just raise your hand. I got something in me right now. I want this, man. And you're willing to go fight for it in prayer. You're willing to ask God for it. We have not because we ask not. That's what the Bible says. I'm telling you, the furtherance of this church and the miracles that God wants to do through this church are dependent on everybody in this room raising your hand and saying, there's something I'm going after in my life. Maybe you want the gift of healing when you lay your hands on somebody where they get healed. I'm telling you, I think that can happen in the name of Jesus. How many of y'all still believe God can heal people? I believe it can happen. And it could be through a kid. It could be through a senior citizen. The gift of God, that's up to God. I don't dispense the gifts. I'm here to just spark up a hunger, man. Some of y'all have a deep desire to preach the gospel and see people get saved and see people come to Christ. You have a deep desire to just see your family come to Christ. I don't know. I'm telling you, God can do that. Lift your hands if you want it. Lift your hands right now in the name of Jesus. I want you to speak it to God and say, this is what I want, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking you, Lord, I'm asking you for the resources of heaven to come through MVP and to come through Sam and I in our life, God, so that we can give away millions and millions and millions of dollars and benefit the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. I'm specifically asking you for that for my life. And Lord, I'm asking you for everybody in this room as they've got their hands in the air asking for specific things, Lord. We know that you are a rewarder of them that seek you. Reward them, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And we will give you all the thanks. We will give you all the glory. We will give you all the credit in the name of Jesus. If you say amen to that, we're going to give Jesus all the credit, everything he does through our life. Put your hands together and just begin to praise him today. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated for just a second. We're going to receive an offering for Sam and Terry, MVP. Yeah, man. Yeah. They blessed us, and I want to bless them today. We're sowing into fertile ground here. You're sowing into fertile ground. Lord, I thank you for MVP. I thank you for Terry and Sam, God. I thank you for what they're doing in lives across the country and across the world. And Lord, I just pray that you just continue to bless them. Lord, I pray that today that we're able to bless them the way that they've blessed others, God. Lord, we just thank and we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you as you give. Jesus. Now listen, all of you that raised your hand and said that you want to be used by the Spirit, you know what that means, right? That means you got to say yes. You got to say yes. You can't say I want to be used by the Spirit and then not act on it. Right? I'm going to wait for these guys to get towards the back. I encourage you to be back here tonight. I know some of y'all don't ever come on Sunday nights, and that's okay. But maybe tonight you could start something new. Maybe you can be obedient to the Spirit and be here on Sunday night. Amen. We're going to pray. Lord, I just thank you for these people. I thank you for what you're doing in their lives. Lord, I pray that we are, as a church, as individuals, that we do say yes to your Spirit. When you move, when you act, when you push us, when you prompt us, Lord, I pray that we say yes. Lord, that we walk in your Spirit. That we meet needs because the Spirit speaks. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. We thank you and we praise you. Lord, I pray that you watch over and you protect these people as they travel to their homes and bring them back here safely. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.